We're in the same boat. We're here to learn together. So do shout out answers and share with each other. And we are going to split into groups. Now, when we split into groups, I'm aware that there's a mixed congregation. Some would be believers. Some would be young believers. Some would not choose to be believers in Jesus Christ. So when we have discussions, we understand that people are coming from different aspects and different points. So do bear that in mind when you're leading the conversations, that we have a variety of people here amongst us. But we're going to look at a few things just to help us get context of evangelism, especially evangelism today in our churches. And I've done a bit of research. I've asked other believers from other churches what their view is inside the church. We're going to look at ways in which church do evangelize at present, the dangers that we face, the encouragements that we have, and then we're going to look at God's word. I'll try and bring out three things that I think this church is in danger or has been in danger of neglecting and either repenting and changing in. Okay, so we're going to look at three things a bit later. But to start with, I want to look at a view from inside the church. Now, I asked Christians from like-minded churches to give me their honest opinion about how they thought evangelism was going in their church. And hopefully on the screen, have you got the stuff on the screen? On the screen behind us, here's some reactions from those churches, those members of the churches, to what they said about evangelism in their churches. And if you can have a look over them, and we can kind of pick up a continuous theme, I'll read out the last one. I would love to, but I'd love it to be more in the DNA of church. I feel it, if everyone lived to share Christ on a day-to-day basis and shared lives with unbelieving friends, there would be a big difference. It feels like the light of the church is kept under a basket. For people to see the light of Christ in us, surely we should be opening our lives to those around us, even if it's messy. That's one view from a believer. Obviously, there's a couple above that if you have time to read them. I'll leave them up there for 30 seconds so you can have a glance over them. And this is a wide mix of people, different ages, different backgrounds, different maturities in the Christian faith. So that's some. Okay, can we go to the next one? So one of the biggest things I'm thankful for at my church is the pastor's heart for evangelism that spills into his sheep. He encourages people from particular gifts to get involved in the community. I'm learning from church that the church needs to be unified in the urgency for the lost to be saved, because this springs us into action and we need to work together in prayer, as we're practically doing. When I compare it to Acts, we are still very far away from that picture of the church. There are many weaknesses and so much slackness or selfishness in myself and the church in the West compared to how it should be. We have so many resources and potential manpower. We need Jesus to show us how to do it. Obviously, there's another one down there as well. And the last one, is it? So the last two, I'll read the second one out. My concern is with not seeing the church grow, functioning in a small community, I can only imagine it's a difficult task. But not seeing new faces leads me to think, how well is God's word spread and how well are we influencing others? So that's just a flavour of how people have shared what they think of evangelism in the life of church. Now, evangelism, hopefully we're on the same page when we think about evangelism. Evangelism isn't necessarily being nice to your neighbour or doing a good errand. Evangelism is particularly sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, a lot of people think about evangelism in different ways, but the Bible says that evangelism is sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to another individual, to reason, to persuade, and to make them to think about the claims of the gospel into their situation. So that's what we would claim as evangelism. Now, I've also looked on online and seen people and churches, how are they doing evangelism today? Now, I don't want to put any names of churches on there to kind of colour your vision about other churches, because this isn't about us and them and how they do things. It's just to give us a flavour of how people today are going about evangelism. And it obviously is a very general thing, but there are some dangers that are creeping in. So I just want to show you some posters of how things are going. If there are names, try and blank them out of your mind. I'm not taking sides of church and stuff, but these are a couple of posters of evangelistic stuff that's happening. Now, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of if it's right, if it's wrong, but so there's a messy church, which is a new kind of phenomenon about how to encourage families and children into the life of the church and how they hear about Jesus. So it involves, as you can see up there, stories, food, fun, crafts, free food, etc. And then next to it is an event happening, which is seeking to feed the 5,000, a free event run by a church in a local race course. And as you can see down the bottom, X Factor people will be there. So you can go and hear the X Factor people in that place. So that's a couple of things. And then the next one is a church recently that I know of have done a thing for the community, which is called the Big Day Out, I think it is, which is a free event again, run for the community from the church, and seeking to engage the community in the church and give them lots of opportunities to have fun and enjoy themselves. And they do that, I think, once a year, I think that is. And the last one, this is a Baptist church. It's called Hope Zone. Hope Zone, which is for years 7 to 11, so teenagers, I believe. And this is run every week. And their idea is the children come along. It's a Christian church, a Baptist church. And what is it for? It's a drop-in, playing on the computers, table football, or just relaxing. But the only thing that's missing is there's no Christian talk, there's no Bible talk from that time. So I don't know what you think about that. I don't know if you think it's a healthy place to be. But it seems to be the case that today there is a lot of things happening which seems to be not gospel-centred and not seeking to tell people about Jesus. And I know it's a very general thing to say, but it seems to be that we're kind of hiding the gospel behind things and we're not bold and courageous with it. And I'm not saying we can't be creative with how we do things, but it's just a danger that we can fall into. Now, I want to ask you, after seeing these things, what dangers — this is an open time, so you can respond. What dangers can we fall into that divert us away from true evangelism? I've got a list of things that I've written down, but anything you can think of that are dangers that we can fall into, please share them, otherwise I'll just read my list out. Any dangers that you can think of? Impressing people. Yep. Impressing people with, in what regard? Okay, so good. Just doing good works on their own.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? What dangers can we fall into?
Culture.
Okay. What do you mean by culture?
Just going by what most people are doing.
Okay.
So flowing along with the status quo.
Yeah. Okay. So that can be a danger we can fall into. Anything else?
Entertainment.
So just simply seeking to entertain people in the life of the church. Yep.
Feeling like it's just about getting a message across rather than about showing love to people and forgetting about all our other ways in which we're called to serve other people, rather than just feeling like we just have to tell the message to as many people as possible.
Yep.
Rather than actually investing in people.
Yep. So being very direct and not really caring, it's just a project that you're going into. Yep. Anything else? There's quite a few dangers, I think. Any more?
Another one I think is pride.
Mm-hmm.
So you want — it's all about the event or the
yep.
method or whatever, looking good and going well.
Yep.
Like, and rather about just being obsessed with success
yep.
in your event or in your whatever it is.
Yep.
Rather than actually thinking about how, rather than trusting God with the success.
Thank you very much, yeah, very helpful point. Yep. So I've got one down, results driven a little bit. It can be very much results driven on the performance of how it's gone. Anyone else, any thoughts about negative impacts on the true evangelistic way in which we should do things? Anything else?
Living out Jesus.
Yep. So even just having a part of the gospel, or just in a sense leaving the whole gospel out.
Leaving the gospel out, yeah.
Okay.
Seeker sensitive.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, seeker sensitive. There's been a movement that came in, I think it's in the 90s, about seeker sensitive. Basically, you become someone's friend. And after becoming someone's friend, you then introduce them to the gospel. But sometimes in that mindset, there's a danger that it becomes friendship and no more. But then, as Mike reminded us, there's another way around, that it can just be about a project and you're not actually loving the person. So there's dangers both sides. So what dangers can we fall in? Not qualified. We can think that we're not qualified to do this job. What questions will be thrown at us? We have no response to them. Open air kind of work or speaking out to those who are strangers is redundant because it doesn't bear many fruit, much fruit, and is kind of not needed anymore because people aren't willing to listen. A positive reaction is needed. Sometimes, I don't know if you've heard that from friends or from other believers, unless you get a positive reaction from somebody, you must be doing something wrong. So you go and tell someone the gospel and they'll respond very aggressively or not want to speak to you again. Now, it's true, we could say it in the wrong way, in the wrong manner. However, the Bible does say that, you know, that you see lots of examples that where the gospel is spoken and people won't speak to them again, or Paul was, kind of left out of places or kicked out of town. So I think that kind of mindset can creep into us, and we can have that mindset in regards to positive reactions. One more is a concept of my life speaks, but I don't speak. I think people can see how we live, but therefore we keep our mouths quiet, and it's the easier way to do things. That can be another aspect that we can fall into. I want to show a video which highlights one danger that we haven't really mentioned from 9 Marks. It's only for about a minute and a half. So if you just roll that video. Yes, please, yeah. Just watch this video for 1 minute and see what the guy has to say.
Involved with evangelistic programs, I'll occasionally put one on. You know, we do the Muslim Christian Dialogue in Dubai for years, so I'm not categorically opposed to that. It's just programs make you feel like you've done evangelism when you really haven't often. So let me define evangelism. Evangelism is teaching or preaching the gospel with the aim to persuade or convert. You know, there's so many ways to get involved in a program. You can be on the soundboard, you can hand out flyers, you can set up chairs. You feel like you've done evangelism when you haven't. So I often say, evangelism, programs are to evangelism like sugar is to nutrition. You know, if you eat sugar, you feel like you've eaten, but you really haven't. It may give you a burst of energy, but eventually too much of it will kill you. And the same is true with evangelistic programs. You can get involved in evangelistic programs and end up killing true evangelism. What we want is a culture of evangelism where people are naturally sharing their faith one-on-one with their friends, their colleagues, their coworkers, their classmates in a natural way out of who they are. So we want people, everyone in the congregation, to understand the gospel, to take opportunities, to take risks, to be bold and clear with the gospel so that they reach out with the gospel in a far bigger context than programs could ever give you. So that's what we want in a culture of evangelism, as opposed to a lot of programs, evangelistic programs.
Thanks, Josh. Any thoughts about that? Anyone disagree? Anyone agree? Or is he speaking rubbish? An evangelistic program. What do people think about an evangelistic program? What Mike's question is, what would that look like? What would that be? Any thoughts about that?
Christianity Explored, would that be one, do you think?
I'd have thought so, yeah. Yeah. Even I'd say the Everyone Must Know campaign that we run is an evangelistic program, I'd say. Yeah. Any other thoughts? How do you define an evangelistic program? Because what the guy's saying is, if you can be so caught up in it, but actually miss the point of what evangelism is. Yeah.
I have many programs.
Yep.
Many, I can say, activities.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the people prepared for this job.
Yep.
Even, what we have here. You run 2-3 people up and down every day, you say this is an evangelistic program.
Yeah.
I think the people, we don't have people prepared for this job. Mm. We need first healthy churches, these people to grow, to know the gospel, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to know why they're going to do this, because they love God. Mm. Not just because we have to go because what other people in the church want to say about it, they're not active in the church.
Yeah.
Then I think this one you want to say is, must come naturally because you love God, not because tomorrow 6 o'clock you must come in the church because you must go to evangelize. We don't have people which is ready. Mm. We must first concentrate in the church to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love our God and are ready to do this because they love Him. Then we want to do the true evangelism. This is my understanding.
Mm.
You say we don't have to be shy to say what
we want. That's what we want to hear. Yeah, I think he's actually talking about people who are professing believers who are loving the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes misguided or unhelped by these programs that churches run. Because it's very easy to get into a sense of running a program, but actually not loving and speaking to people directly. It's our responsibility to share the gospel directly. But it's very easy for me to go to my friend, do you want to come on a course? and the course will take care of you, rather than me sharing my life with them and speaking to the gospel about them. I think that's more of the case that he's bringing up. So it's just that sense of personal relationship in regards to evangelism. Was there another point? Just what is it?
I thought we could clarify because it wasn't very clear.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
There's no reason why you can't combine this personal approach with the course anyway, because you're not going to learn this in 1 hour.
Learn what? What's?
You're not going to teach the gospel in 1 hour.
Yeah.
I'll say the Alpha course.
Yeah.
This was quite instrumental for me because I had a church of English background anyway.
Yeah.
But explaining, it's Matthew, isn't it? Explaining Matthew.
Yeah.
The idea behind Matthew,
yeah,
and what Matthew was saying, that took several weeks, 1 day a week, or 2 hours in the evening.
You know? Yeah.
But you're not going to do it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have your personal approach, which is fine,
yeah,
but you also need to ensure that you're giving the right message.
Yeah.
And the message comes from Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with the course.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have a personal input in there,
yeah,
but you're never going to be satisfied with that because you may feel that you don't have enough people putting an input in,
mm-hmm,
or the course is too sparse anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think part personally that you should stop beating yourself up a bit too much about that.
Yeah.
You have a course called the Alpha Course.
Yeah.
People denigrate to some extent, and then you have the Christianity Explored course.
Mm-hmm.
Which is driven by Rico Tice.
Yeah.
And you've got to think that his personality there is a real driver on that.
Yeah.
Course. And, I think you can start building up from that.
Mm-hmm. So your comment is you can use both alongside each other?
I don't think there's any need to criticise one with and boost the other.
Okay. Any thoughts in that regard? Do people see any danger in the whole mentality of having kind of courses and things like that, or is that?
I think if you're studying, isn't it?
Yeah.
So people have to turn up at one particular time.
Yeah.
So if you get a non-Christian coming to church, how are you going to show him or her?
Yeah.
Sorry, there.
Yeah.
I meant.
Yeah.
Him and her.
Sure.
What Christianity is about.
Yeah.
Basic.
Yeah.
About having a repentance of sin.
Yeah.
Understanding that Christ was crucified and resurrected and appeared in human form,
mm-hmm,
and reincarnated.
Yep.
Unless you get hold of that,
yeah,
then you can't, I would hesitate to call yourself a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the fundamental description of your faith.
Yeah.
And yet you're not going to be able to put this across in a 1 hour lecture.
Sure.
But you've got to make sure that if they're going to come,
yeah,
over a period of time, that at the end of that period of time, they understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I was saying is that what we seem to be saying here is that the danger comes when we only see there's one method of evangelism. So the video seemed to be criticising the culture which can so easily seep into some experiences and some circles,
mm-hmm,
where evangelistic programmes are seen as the only way evangelism happens,
mm-hmm,
and people feel like being involved in these programmes is how evangelism happens, mm-hmm, in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like what you're saying here is that's like, what's going on there is that, you know, sometimes if we can only think to ourselves that personal evangelism in a sort of whatever kind of way you want to see that is the only way it happens, we're then losing the merit of some of these programs have and the way in which they're so beneficial.
Mm.
And in general, I think it is something just really important to keep in mind that even one way which might work really well for us or our friends or that kind of thing,
mm,
isn't the only way that, mm, evangelism happens. Evangelism is done across the world,
sure,
by Christians from a different variety of backgrounds in hundreds of completely different ways,
mm,
we've even seen from your posters, just seeing different ways in which churches have felt this is the best way to reach our communities.
Mm.
And that's something I think which is important to keep in mind when we're discussing programs and,
mm,
interpersonal evangelism and everything like that.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I just thought that it's probably best to have one.
Uh-huh.
Not to necessarily. I think programs are good.
Yeah.
I mean, when I did it, when I was quite young,
yeah,
I didn't really want to speak to people face to face,
mm-hmm,
I would probably get more like handing out tracts. So
sure.
That was my evangelism as such.
Yeah.
Not necessarily engaging one to one.
Yeah.
Whereas I would still, if somebody was comfortable, like my friend or something.
Yeah.
Then I would have that one to one engagement with them.
Okay.
I can understand what you're saying, because there are a few people that I even know who've never spoken to their friends or family and do a program, just automatically hand out tracts. Anybody can hand out tracts, but never have that conversation with someone. And then they think that's, oh, I'm done. No, that's me.
Yeah.
That's my evangelism done. So I think it has to be a genuine one to one with somebody along the way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the program do good. Because I don't know if somebody else said that. You do need those workers
to
have the time available to support those as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Anything else?
I'd say my only objection with the programs, and this is really Rico Tice's own words in recent years, is that gone are the days where, after course, Christianity Explored, where you could invite people and they'll turn up.
Yeah.
So his argument would be that we've shifted from that.
Yeah.
Where you could easily invite people.
Yeah.
So Christianity Explored and they'll turn up. He's saying nowadays people don't even turn up.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a shift of the culture.
Yeah.
Because I guess similar to what Mike is saying, I think to say there's only one way would be wrong. And we know that there are so many avenues to share the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the danger is about sticking with one and saying this is it. Certainly when it comes to running a program, I think it's a very different type of evangelism.
Yeah.
To going out and sharing the one-to-one.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're saying these programs are inherently wrong or anything. I think it's just flagging up. There can be a danger and a tendency to stick and to focus on them and to not have our own responsibility of sharing the good news with people, which is I find it very easy to do that myself. Very easy to ask them to come to something rather than speak to them directly. And as you look through the Gospels, you see the disciples, the other Christians sharing testimony and being bold for Jesus. But again, nothing. Sorry, Neil.
It's all right. You're confident you can be concise when you tell somebody about the Christian faith.
What do you mean by concise?
Accurate.
I believe that if you're talking about kind of nailing the whole gospel in one conversation, I'd say you'd have to be very careful about that. I think the sense of loving people is to be led by the Spirit and to be wise in terms of how you go about sharing the gospel with them, isn't it? Now, for one person, it might be sowing a seed in their thoughts and or challenging them about an issue. Because I think if you look at Jesus and how he does his evangelism, it's very varied, isn't it? It's not necessarily one way and one. But I think for every believer who's been saved, you have the testimony of Jesus Christ within you, don't you, in the sense of how you can share the gospel.
Yeah.
What my situation was before, how God worked, how I've been changed. So I think there's a very sense of being able to share the grace and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, very accurate in that regard.
You think it's important that you don't give them false information or something?
Sure. Yeah.
I have this problem, you know, I drive these doctors around.
Yeah.
And I have this Muslim doctor who's very keen on challenging me.
Okay.
So I'm trying to drive around. I'm trying to think of what I know about the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And I realise how accurate I've got to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brought this to mind.
Yeah.
In a sense, you could almost have a template.
Yeah.
That would be totally impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Christian plan.
Yeah.
Write it down on a page of A4, you know.
Yeah.
We'll read that and we'll talk next week.
Yeah.
And in that sense, you've got the personality.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess for me, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know the answer. And saying, I believe the Bible has something to say on this, and I'll go look it into it, and I'll come back to you and answer your question. As Christians, I think that's what I'm saying about, we feel like we're not qualified. That's one of the dangers we fall into. But trusting in God and believing upon Him, and obviously we do need to dig into the Bible deeper and more fully and understand it.
Part of it comes in showing your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Or evangelizing after you've been converted.
Mm-hmm.
That is what will come over to the object of your...
Sure. Yeah, if this is the greatest news that I've ever heard, and God so changed my life, obviously you want to share it, won't you? So, yeah. But no, I appreciate your point. I think it picks up on what Dimitri is saying, that as God's people here, we need to be equipped, we need to be strengthened.
To be equipped, you've used the right word there.
Yeah.
You're equipped with the knowledge and the facts about the
time. Yeah. Anyone, what's people's thoughts about, do we need to be thoroughly equipped before we go out and evangelise? Is that the Bible's teaching? Or should we go out and speak as we go? Yes, Kai. We should speak. Very good. We should go and tell people about Jesus, shouldn't we? That's very important to remember. Well done, Kai. Yes, Dimitri. Yeah.
Systematic theology to share the gospel, but
yeah.
You can. Everyone has opportunity even to put a stone in a shoe.
Yeah.
And they can say to make him think that this is still work sometimes. For example, as you say, in my work as a driver, I've got many opportunities to speak about God.
Mm-hmm.
And all this kind of experience, understand? Sometimes I don't push the people with the Bible in their head to say you must believe in God.
Yeah.
I tell them about my life. I was drunk, I was that bad man.
Yep.
I read Bible and believe in God, and God changed my life, and I have opportunity to tell them about me, so they hear about God.
Mm-hmm.
I just give for example that there's a many different opportunities.
Yep.
You don't have to know all the Bible theology
to
finish seminary to share the gospel.
Sure.
I think sometimes the gospel, even as a Christian, we must be a good bet. Good. In the bus stop to share the gospel for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a study in South Africa. How we can share the gospel for 30 seconds? You tell me, you know. Then you can. You got in this small brochure. God, man, sin. That's the gospel, you know.
Yeah.
And that's my, if I can say, how I work.
Yeah.
My personal evangelism.
Yeah.
I have a lot of opportunities. I can't believe anyone has. Only sometimes we must be careful how we take this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
I think it's a bit of a journey.
Yep.
If you take a step out and you're not feeling entirely sure about he's ever feeling safe, then sometimes that can build up a desire to know more and then just like to. Don't feel like ever, because I think you would always push the boat and say, yeah, I don't know enough, can't you?
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone will keep doing that.
Yeah.
So you have to be willing to engage in something you're not comfortable with.
Okay.
And it's those little steps of faith that God completely acknowledges.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh. Yeah.
I think this is where we have to be aware of our weaknesses.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, the biblical call is for everyone who's a Christian to go out and to wear our stage of understanding and knowledge.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much of scripture which, you know, tells us to be like, you know, the normal passage everyone goes to is the 1 Peter one. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Where, you know, you sort of be ready to give an answer to people who ask you, and to be prepared and to have knowledge. I think this is where using what we call programs can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we go out.
Yeah.
But sometimes there are times when it's, you know, going out looks a lot like, hey, do you want to read Christianity Explored with me? Do you want to read through John's Gospel using this program with me? You know, rather than, look, can I tell you the Gospel? Because sometimes when we just say stuff, it doesn't work so well as, hey, do you want to do this with me?
Mm.
Like, you know, it was all going out.
Yeah.
But sometimes in going out, we have to be aware of our own weaknesses, our own inadequacies, and not try and take on things which actually we're not equipped to do.
It's very helpful. I'd like just to split into some groups. So if guys, you could maybe split into maybe two or three groups. So if Zach can take one group and Mike and Mark, is that all right? So maybe can you just go into groups of three or four maybe? Guys, just spread around there. And then ladies, you just want to have one group maybe? That'd be great. Yeah, the children, you go in your little group, yeah? Yeah. So three groups of the guys, yeah, three groups. So if you can just sort yourselves out into three groups of four. Sorry? Yep. So, yeah, if you, Lewis, Neil, Mark, and Dan, yeah? Cool.
I should have had my hand up. I was just wondering, it's probably relevant now, but I'll talk to you about it later, but whether you would equate testimonies as the gospel. Is a testimony a gospel?
Okay.
People are saying they use testimonies.
Yep.
Is it actually the gospel or is it your testimony?
Okay.
So, anyway.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for that. Okay. Just a couple of questions. Just a couple of questions that... just to discuss and get back to us, two questions. What encourages you to share the gospel in your personal life, and what discourages you? Okay, what encourages you to share the gospel in your personal life, and what discourages you? Just have 5 minutes, come back with some encouragements and some discouragements. Off you go. Okay, can you come to an end of what encourages you, moving on to what discourages you, okay? So kind of bullet point answers would be great. Okay, one more minute. No, not for you. Not for you, babies. You got.
Yeah. Am I just going through this with them?
Yeah.
But this has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
No, there's evangelism, but for the children.
Okay. Why were the disciples angry?
Read the passage.
What? It just says, when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them.
Yeah. So why were they unhappy? They thought the children were getting annoyed. So don't bring the kids to Jesus, you're in the way. Okay, if you can stay where you are and come to an end, we'll start with what encourages you to share the gospel in your personal life. So it's a kind of bullet point thing, just to give us some direction. Any thoughts of what encourages you? Shout them out if you want. Put your hand up. Any thoughts? Yeah, Abraham.
Jesus tells us to do.
Jesus' command.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah? Simple as. Thank you very much. Yeah, any more?
The love of God.
The love of God compels us to go. Yeah? Any other thoughts?
Compassion for the lost.
I can't hear. Yep. Thank you. Yep. Experience. Any more?
God will invest in us if we're willing to take him
at the
word. Yep. I guess knowing the future as well and where these people are going to end up
also yeah.
encourages us to want to share with them.
Yeah, the right.
Especially when they are our loved ones.
Yeah. Yeah, view of eternity. Yeah, examples before us, other people going and sharing the good news, it spurs us on, doesn't it?
Also, when people ask questions about our faith and whatever, then that encourages us to speak and
yeah.
open up about it and share
it. Yeah, questions that are asked you?
Yeah.
yeah.
Because it's true as well.
yeah, this is a true message. The one point I've got down, it's the greatest news. Yeah. That should encourage us, it's impacted my life. So therefore, I want to tell you about this great news that's changed me. Any other ones, quickly? A few whispers. Yeah.
Exciting.
It's exciting, yeah? Brilliant.
So there'll be rewards in heaven.
Okay. The blessings that are to come
yeah.
from obedience.
Inspired.
Sorry?
Inspired. Yeah.
Brilliant, thank you. I've got good teaching. Encourages us to go out. If we're faithfully taught by God's word... accountability rebukes, encourages us to go. Sometimes we're lethargic and lukewarm and a brother comes alongside a sister, says, look, there's a lost world out there, we need to go and share. What else have we got? The fear of God within us, the fear of God. Anything else? Anyone else last minute? A good attitude, yep. Linked into kind of obedience. To what God's commanded us to do. Okay, we'll go on to discouragements. Hopefully this won't be too long a list. Any discouragements that you'll face regarding personal evangelism?
People's responses.
So people's reaction to when you tell them? Yeah. Anything else?
Criticism.
Mocking as well. Yeah. Looked down upon. Yeah.
Violence.
Sorry?
Violence.
Violence.
I mean in subtle and quiet ways.
Yeah. 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 So verbal and physical abuse, yeah.
Not having a close relationship with God. When I'm not feeling that love for God, I'm very discouraged to tell anyone else about my
yeah.
love for God.
Very true. Thank you very much, yeah. Any other ones? Any discouragements?
You said about lack of strategic thinking in terms of churches.
Yeah.
Not having it in a strategic
yeah. No plan for the battle. Yeah. Any others?
Not knowing the answers, what to say to people, like just not having the knowledge and
yeah.
What to, yeah.
Self-doubt and yeah. True, yeah.
Seeing people annoyed and frustrated at you. Okay. Even though you feel you've done the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Reputation. Yeah. That kind of mindset of I have a reputation of standing. If I speak out, my reputation is going to go down and think, people are going to think less of me. What else we got? Freezing up. If I speak out, my mouth will go quiet, my brain will go empty and I won't know what to say. Listening to yourself. Often you go out and you think, I need to speak to someone. And in your mind, there starts doubts being sown and we need to preach the truth to ourselves sometimes. And preach the God's promises. One of the biggest ones, there's a battle raging. The biggest warfare, the devil wants to discourage us from going out and sharing the greatest news. They're under, the world is, he's in control and he's has power over those that are his. So there's a big battle raging when it comes to evangelism. Any final ones? Fear of man. Yeah. The world has its agenda.
Laziness.
Lukewarmness alongside it, yeah. So there's lots more, as I said, lots more discouragements than there are encouragements. Okay, so let's go on to God's Word. I think there's three things as Christians we need to really get hold of and be mindful of and live out. So in your groups, the first one, there's a danger of losing confidence in the gospel. Losing confidence in the gospel. In your groups, Galatians 6, 11 to 18. And if you're the leader of the group, can you just write down these questions? If you're the leader, can you write down these questions? How did they lose confidence in the gospel? What was their boast in? And in regards to that, what do our lives and our churches say we boast in? Their boast should have been in the cross. What impact should that have on their and our lives? Okay, if you've got some time, someone can read that out in your group and discuss those, especially looking at confidence in the gospel. Galatians 6, 11 to 18. Okay. Okay, can I just draw you back to the front? So the passage in Galatians, the questions that were thrown out. Can you any thoughts about the they're losing the confidence in the gospel? What they're trusting in? Any thoughts that you got from your group?
Pride.
Pride. Yep. Yep. So in themselves it was in the sense of what they were trusting in, yeah? Any other thoughts?
They're being seduced by people who are ritualistic.
Yep.
With the circumcision.
And, yep.
They'll be back on the burnt offering soon.
Yeah. Yep.
So somehow those people are in the church as well.
Yeah.
We have to read it from the start, wouldn't we? So,
yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Any other things you got from that?
They're scared of persecution.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says in chapter 1, verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Sorry.
No, that's helpful. Thanks, Neil. Anything else? Yep. So it's a very dangerous position to be in. And so they're there for, their boast should have been in the cross. And how is it put that their boast in the cross, what impact should that have if their boast is in the cross? Did you get something of that? If their boast is in the cross of Jesus Christ, what impact does that have on their lives?
Should be immune to this idea of following the law. Following the law in the hope of justification.
Yep.
And they should be willing to pass on the good word.
Yep. Something else in there? Anyone else? Particularly looking at verse 14. Yeah. 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 So what does it say? But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So the whole sense of separation and the love of God and not being controlled or desiring for the world's pleasure or pleasing of man. So that's a big impact into their lives. And so anyone get into kind of what do our lives and what do we boast in as churches or any dangers that we can fall into?
Yeah. I think our dangers, Cal, are, to be honest, very similar to the dangers of the Galatians here.
Yeah.
There are many, many people who have grown up in churches and Christian homes who get to my age and you ask them what they see as being the key of Christianity. And they'll just say, oh, not getting drunk, only following such and such and such a rule.
Yeah. Because
that's what they've been brought up in. And it's loads of people who get to my age and who have grown up in churches, good churches, Bible preaching churches, who have that impression. And I think that shows that so often the impression we give to people in our churches is that Christianity is all about following and living a certain set type of life.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very dangerous. Any further thoughts?
In Boston, how many people we have in the church?
Yeah.
You say all our chairs in the church is full of people.
Yeah.
You say we can say also in personal way, I lead someone to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In Boston myself.
Yeah.
All these things to
danger. Yes.
The danger things today to the church is if the church is full of people, then it's
going to
be very spiritual.
Yeah. And on the flip side, what's people's thoughts on if a church is boasting only in the cross of Jesus Christ, what signs are there? I know it wasn't the question, but what signs are there that a church is boasting only in the cross of Jesus Christ? Any thoughts?
This is the life, this personal example.
Okay.
People which speak about Jesus Christ and we hear, we should study now and showing ourselves to be a Christian. We must show this in our daily lives.
Okay.
When my neighbors see me and the man who knows, what's the difference between Sunday and Monday, 10 o'clock, it's Wednesday, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I see this man is to be three. He's a Christian and I can see something in him which I want to know.
Yeah.
This is what we miss today in our
question. Yeah.
I guess when we boast in the cross as well,
yep,
then what does the cross speak of? It speaks of Christ. So we will speak of Christ. And
yep,
when we boast the cross, we also speak of the power of the cross, meaning that a changed life.
Yep.
Our liberty from our own self, from the flesh, from the world.
Yep.
So, and also when we speak about the cross as well, we want to speak about how the cross saves us.
Yeah.
When we boast of cross, we just don't say Christ died on the cross and that's it.
Yeah.
We speak about the person on the cross.
Yeah.
And what that person on the cross has done. Mm-hmm. Liberating us, give us this freedom.
Yeah. That's very helpful, isn't it?
It's a selfless as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not about us anymore. It's humility and brings us down, puts us in our rightful position and exalts.
Yeah.
Him,
yeah.
Goes down and
so the desire, we decrease and he increases. Yeah. So we pray that that's true as us as a church here, don't we? That our boast is only in the cross of Jesus Christ. And continually we have to remind ourselves that. Because as we've heard, it's so, so easy to divert and go on a different track. Secondly, let's just go to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 18. And the danger of losing sight and reality of eternity. I think it might be easier. I'll read it out just so we start at the same point. So I'll read out 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 18. The word of God says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for you, for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's God's word. If you're leading the group, three questions. How is the gospel spoken about? What is living it out like? And what do they know and look to sharpen and spur themselves on? And aside to that, how should we encourage ourselves to live out the gospel? Sorry? The questions? Yep. So how is the gospel spoken about? What is living it out like? What do they know and look to sharpen and spur themselves on? And how would we encourage ourselves to live out the gospel in this present day? And again, five minutes. How do we encourage ourselves to live out the gospel? If you can draw your questions and discussions just to a closing point. Okay. Okay, so the 2 Corinthians passage. How is the gospel spoken about in this passage? You might have to do a little research to find out the background to it, but how did you find out about how the gospel was spoken about? What was its description?
Treasure.
Okay, it's good to hear, isn't it? The gospel is treasure. Powerful. Any other words that you can come up with? Precious.
Sufficient.
Sorry?
Sufficient.
Sufficient in what? Sorry?
We can be like hard pressed
and all that stuff. But it ceases. Okay. Very good. And what is living this gospel out like? What's the experience of we read of in this passage?
Hard.
There's persecution?
Yeah, and abandonment.
Abandonment. Anything else? Sorry, I didn't hear that. Very difficult, yes. Lots of difficulties. Any other words you might use?
Strong and steadfast.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Strong and steadfast.
We have to be strong and steadfast, yeah? Yeah? Very good. Yeah, Romeric helped him out there by putting him on the spot. Is that reality? Is that reality in your life? We have to trust. Sorry, is that what you meant?
Stress.
Sorry, stress. Yeah, it can be very, very stressful. If you look at the passage, very stressful situation. Is that how we find it in our lives? Probably not. Time to be open and honest if you feel like you are. People feel like that's they're facing a difficult life because of the gospel's sake.
I think we feel stressed because we know we should be doing.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. What do they look to sharpen and to spur themselves on? What do they know and look to sharpen and spur themselves on? Any thoughts about how do they encourage themselves in such a difficult situation they face?
Temporary.
Sorry? It's temporary. What they're... Yeah, in light of eternity, yeah. So it's a temporary thing. Anything else?
It's only very light affliction now.
Okay. Yeah.
New bodies.
They receive new bodies. That'd be a help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything particularly in verse 14? What are they thrilled? What really encourages them to know?
You have the promise in the faith.
The promise in the faith, which is. So that phrase, with Jesus, should really encourage us, shouldn't it? That one day we'll be with Jesus. That must have really encouraged them and spurred them on. And then what do they look to in verse 18? What do they look to in verse 18? What's unseen? Any ideas on how you look to what's unseen? Sounds a bit of an impossible task. How do you look to what's unseen? By faith. Any other answers? Just by faith or anything else?
Seeking God.
Seeking God?
I mean, it says that the things we cannot see will last forever, so be the stuff which lasts forever, like, you know, our relationship with God and, yeah, the spiritual fruit and heaven and all that kind of stuff.
Lots to encourage yourself with, isn't there, in terms of when you look to things which are unseen, when you dig into the Word, it's a precious truth to encourage yourself. And I hope we had some ideas of how do we encourage ourselves. Any ideas of how we encourage yourself? If this is the life that we're facing, any ideas how we can encourage ourselves to be living out this gospel?
God works in weak people.
Yep. Amen.
About eternity and just how long that is. And
yeah.
That. Other people that aren't Christians, will be in eternity, but in a different place.
Sure.
Yeah.
That eternal mindset should weigh heavy upon us. If you think about your friends, family, the Bible says if they're outside of Jesus Christ, there's a place of suffering, there's hell. If we look into the things which are unseen, that should come into our mind as well, shouldn't it? As well as the glories that we are yet to go to. That should spur us on in our own life, but there are some serious considerations. Yeah. Yeah.
And seeing that they have, you know, an eternal spectrum, that they're no longer going to go to hell,
yeah,
to be with the Lord. So
yeah,
it's encouraging in that sense.
Sure.
But, you know,
yeah. Thanks, Liz. Okay, so we thought about the final one, the final thing we're just going to consider for 5 minutes, is in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 12. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. The final thing I want to consider is losing our way with our responsibility. So losing our way with our responsibility. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12 says, "But you, speaking of believers, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." If you're leaving the group, just a few minutes to consider. How would you describe yourself as a Christian after reading this passage? What are we called to be and do? Is that an option? And what would cause us to think that proclaiming God's word and his truth is not our responsibility? Any thoughts about that? Yeah, the questions are, how would you describe yourself after reading this passage as a Christian? What are we called to be and do? Is it an option? And what a personal thing, what causes us to think that sharing the gospel and living for Jesus is not my responsibility? not necessarily reflected in the passage, but just your own thoughts maybe on that. And we've got roughly 3 or 4 minutes. Okay, we can carry on conversations after, over a meal table. So we lost our way. How would you have described yourself as a Christian after reading this passage? What words came to your mind?
Chosen people.
Yep. You're chosen. Any other words that would come to mind?
Holy
priest. A holy priesthood. Yep. Is there one more? Yep. A holy nation, yep.
Oh, sorry.
He missed it. Yep. Belonging to God. So in a sense, not being your own. Yep. Sorry. Same thing, yeah. Thanks, Neil. Aliens, yeah, as you go further on. Any other ones?
Strangers in the world.
Yep. And so those Christians who are described as chosen, they're of God, a special people. How, what are they called to be and do? What are they called to be and do? Declare his praises. Yep.
Live exceptionally good lives.
Abstain from sinful desires.
Abstain from sinful desires.
Tell others about how great God is.
Yep.
Live good lives in general.
I heard someone say when they were referring to a holy nation, the man said to live distinctly apart from the world, for the world. So to be so Christ-like that the world can see such a difference in you, but that's not to be, in a sense, shying away from them, but it's to shine the light upon what their need is. So that's what he referred to a holy nation as, being so set apart, they see who you're living for. Any other things? Is it, sorry. Yeah. And is this way of life, to live a life given over to God, is it an option? Is it a consideration? How do you think it should live out?
It's a responsibility.
A responsibility? Anything stronger than that?
Command.
A command? Yeah?
We were saying there that the privileges that we have is that we're partakers.
Yeah.
So we've got all this, if you like, entitlement.
Yeah.
And privilege.
Yeah.
And yet when it comes to speaking or declaring his excellence,
you yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I'll take all that.
Yeah.
And yet I'm not willing to declare one.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think, sorry, throw another question out quickly. Do you think we live as it's an option? Do you think we, how do you think we live in light of it? Or do you think we're God's own people and we're called for a particular service, or are we just living as we please?
How do people? Quite spontaneous, I think, to how we feel.
Yeah?
And that isn't something that necessarily we should do.
Okay.
Seem more gifted.
Okay.
So they tend to like, oh, he's good at that.
Yeah.
I let him do that.
Yeah.
And that's where it go on.
Yeah. Okay. And what would cause you to think it's not? Sorry, this wasn't particularly linked to the passage, but what would you cause us to think we're not responsible for this calling? What would fill our minds to say we're not responsible?
Lack of understanding, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not knowing, just being ignorant.
So an ignorance or a lack of teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Satan's deception.
Satan's deception? To draw you away from the task ahead? Yeah?
In particular, I think that we're inadequate.
Sorry?
In particular, Satan's lies that we're inadequate.
Okay. Yeah.
but also thinking that there is only one way of doing it, as we saw earlier, as we thought about, there is other ways. It's not just you must be on the high street or you must be doing a program or whatever. You can have that one-to-one at work, just quietly for 5 minutes on tea break.
Yeah.
There is different ways, and I think when you think of evangelism, everyone just straight away thinks of, you know, opening and preaching or whatever. But again, it's building, giving people understanding and confidence to work with what they're comfortable with and what they can really shine at and really sort of flourish in.
Hmm.
But when we tell people, where are you on Saturday morning or something, and that's good, but that isn't the only way. I think we need to be quite clear about and encouraging people to do evangelism in accordance with their personality. Some people are quieter, some people are more introvert, some people more extrovert. There's differences, and I think that needs to be run as well.
I think you should also temper your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if every Christian converted one person, double the number of people. I'm sorry about the simple arithmetic.
Yeah.
That would double the number of people in Christianity, you know. So if you sort of expect that you should be able to convert one person or give one person a lead,
I think our old pastor said if you,
you know, thinking that you're going to be on some stage somewhere.
Yeah, I think our old pastor said if every Christian in the church was to disciple one person over a period of 5 years, and that carried on for 20 years, the church would grow to 100,000 or something. The simplicity of it, in sense of, and it's a great idea, isn't it? In sense of, we're seeking to love people, as people we know, our colleagues, our neighbours, maybe picking one name to pray for, and to really seek after God that you would be able to have a witness and influence in their lives. So I hope tonight has given us some focus, some direction, some challenges, as we thought about those three particular things. If you go away with anything tonight, the confidence in the gospel, the reality of eternity, and our responsibility. Those three things, if we can encourage each other through the week, it's so easy, as Dimitri said, Monday morning comes, isn't it? And what's our thoughts about? What are we considering? Is it our work? Is it other agendas? So let's be thoughtful about our responsibility and where people are heading. And the glorious gospel, this treasure that we have to share to other people. I should have said at the start, obviously don't speak as an expert at all, so please come and feedback and help me out as well, and I'm sure there are others in the church. But we're going to have food now, so let's just close in prayer and enjoy some food together. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your long-suffering. Father, we are worried and concerned because as we looked at that difficult and hard life, we do not understand it because we're often not in it. And we pray, therefore, that we would be a people who are caught and are gripped by the gospel and how it has impacted, how it has changed us, how this is such good news. And we pray, Lord God, as we go out, that we would have our confidence wholly in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would understand that we are looking to the things which are unseen and knowing the reality of eternity that is coming. And Lord God, that we would be responsible, knowing it's not someone else's job. You've called us to be a chosen people. We pray, Lord God, you'd help us to take that to heart and to ask and pray that even this week, even tomorrow, there'd be opportunity to speak the good news and to share the good news in how we live, how we act, how we speak, how we think. May it all be to your glory and to your praise. Help us now as we share food together to continue to encourage each other to seek first your kingdom and to love and to live for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for participating, and I think the food is ready through the side hall. Thanks, Mike.